Good morning. Happy Halloween. My name is Andrew Hertzberg. I'm with Draft FCB, the advertising contractor for the White House Office of National Drug Control Policies, National Youth Anti-Drug Advertising Campaign, media campaign. And I'm going to discuss the evolution of the media campaign over the past few years from what was a very traditional mass media campaign to one that's involved new media, social media, as well as a lot of community activities and local outreach. I have no financial relationships to describe. I may dress as someone that does later, though. So what are we up against? Looking at the Monitoring the Future study, particularly here, 12th graders pass year marijuana use. If you look at the late 90s, early 2000s, the blue line indicates a downward trend in usage of marijuana, but then beginning at around 2005, 2006, we're seeing a very steady uptick over the past few years. The green line represents a bit of an inverse relationship, the perceived risk of drug use, if you will. So if you have lower perceived risk, greater likelihood that you're going to use. Media campaigns, communications campaigns try to impact this perceived risk. So if there's more risk, I'm less likely to use. Questions have been asked about, you know, why has there been an increase lately? And among the answers is the preponderance right now of pro-drug messages basically everywhere the teens turn. And I have a short video that describes some of this.
Teens today are surrounded by pro-drug influence and celebrated, shared. So that is absurd.
Top story, marijuana is now legal.
You think you drop on it? You smoke all day.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
Where's your dinner?
See, you get the sheep up in Texas, especially when
but mainly it's pervasive. The constant drumbeat of drugs and drinking in culture trivializes the risks and makes it seem like that's simply what normal is. Well, it's not.
So the messaging is everywhere, and that's what basically everyone in this room is up against. So the Above the Influence advertising campaign, who's familiar with that campaign? Most of you are. Okay. It's been around for 6 years now, targeting teens primarily, and more than a typical anti-drug ad campaign, the goal is to be inspirational, to help teens make good choices. It's about what they're above rather than what they're under, but recognizing that drugs and other negative influences stand in the way. There have been a number of recent publications that have indicated the effectiveness of the campaign, in addition to the campaign's own tracking study, which all demonstrate the youth that are exposed to this campaign are less likely to use. So good news there. Some of the data indicates that teens are very aware of Above the Influence advertising, 85%, similar to brands as popular as Burger King, as Coca-Cola, other teen brands. Folks in this room may not have seen a lot of advertising. That's because it really is in the places that teens are. But more than awareness, the campaign resonates. More than 75% of teens say Above the Influence speaks to them. African American, Hispanic, whites, boys, girls, and the like. So it cuts across. It addresses a variety of substances as well, that these messages can fit prescription drugs, alcohol, marijuana, other behaviors, bullying, whatever it is that can bring them down. And teens have adopted it. They're making it their own, which was the point of this from the beginning of the campaign. So since 2010, there have been a number of changes to the campaign. The messaging has gone much broader. In the Bush administration, Above the Influence was largely focused on anti-marijuana messaging, And in the last couple of years, it's expanded to whatever it is teens do to get wasted. So it's drinking, it's whatever the drugs are, prescription drugs, and so on. We've also increased our emphasis on social media, and I'll talk more about the Facebook page, but right now there's more than 350,000 fans to the Above the Influence Facebook page. The campaign's also been extended for local participation. Community coalitions have been given a number of tools to engage teens in the campaign that I'll be speaking about and Kristen's going to discuss further. A research study was conducted among teens to really help understand where is this generation in relation to drugs, drug issues, and how can messaging be refined to speak to them. This was online research conducted around the country, mix of grade levels, mix of cultures, demographics, and so on. And one of the learnings from this is how targeting has been defined for the campaign. And five, we'll call them profiles or prototypes were developed of the types of teens that we're looking to speak to. These aren't real names, these aren't real teens. It could be a boy, but it could be a girl messaging against someone like a Nina who refuses to use, but every day she's exposed to negative influences. In the middle, Jay, he thinks he's got everything under control, no big deal, he can dabble, nothing bad will happen. Marcus, top right, he used to use but stopped because of a variety of reasons, but he's still surrounded by negative influences. Donna, on the bottom, she used but she got caught and bad things happened to her. Finally, bottom right, Katie is not open to use, has little exposure, and lives in a very low-risk world. So I'm going to share some recent ads, and you can see how they speak to these different teens. In this case, an ad called Diner, which focuses on a young man that's surrounded by it, but also rises above it. Next ad demonstrates a very different situation that resonates to a different one of our profiles. And finally, another very different situation of teens trying to fit in or not. So while the brand is consistent above the influence, the messaging really does speak to different teens with different mindsets with the hope of I may not see myself in one of these, but I will in another. Teens and technology, while those represent television ads, we know that technology has changed, social networks have really changed the way that teens live today. So I'm going to discuss how we've addressed that. What our teens told us in our research was that they're more connected. We know they're connected to a whole lot more. We see it every day. But there's such increased pressure because of this. So if you think of teens on Facebook, every day they need to reinvent themselves. Every day they need to decide, what's my photo going to be? What am I doing? What do I share? What don't I share? Who's my friend? Who's not my friend? These are pressures that we all may have faced on the street as teens, but not among hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others. And this represents real pressure magnifying everything. And we saw earlier that the negative influences that are surrounding teens. In terms of what they're doing online, they're there for connections, they're there for entertainment. They're used to a very bottoms-up approach. So what do they want to see? How do they want to be entertained? And they can find the platform to find that. Between DVR, Hulu, their phone, they pick and choose what they want to see and when they want to see it. They're very used to the web. They've got their iPhones. They've got their smartphones. They're texting and so on. The last point is real important, though. The concept of expertise has really changed. So the credibility of a message from a public health person sounds good, but the opinion of the neighbor across the street that may have posted a response on Facebook is just as relevant to them. So there's a lot of opinions, and they all seem credible all of a sudden, and we need to recognize that. 79% of teens own cell phones. Difference in behaviors between the sexes. Girls, on average, receive 80 texts per day. Teen boys only receive 30 a day, but there's a lot of texting. And most teens are using their cell phones as a smartphone. Above the influence, then, is in social media. We're on Facebook, Google, YouTube, MySpace, and based on being here, we reach roughly 90% of teens nationwide. In June of 2010, we introduced our Facebook page for Above the Influence. And it was real important to not just be there, but be there in a meaningful way. So use it as a platform to provide information, but also to stimulate discussion, because that's what social networking does, so that teens have a legitimate conversation. And I've actually updated this slide twice in the last couple of weeks, because in the last 2 weeks, we've gained 20,000 more fans per week. So it just demonstrates the power of these platforms. And what we've learned, and these are just some of the postings, and I know it's a little hard to see, but one day we asked teens to just show us pictures of you and your friends with the Above the Influence arrow. And these are some of the images that teens created that we've in turn put on the page as our profile pic. And we shared those, and teens get pretty creative, but this is good news that they're embracing it. They've shared with us that Above the Influence is affecting their lives. These commercials changed my life. I was just thousands of friends. I was one of the baddest, but ATI's made a difference. They've looked for support. I've been trying to go straight. Can anybody give me tips? We're providing tools for local communities to reach out and letting people know, hey, this community in Michigan's doing an Above the Influence event. Teens are taking control, so when there's teens that use that come to the Above the Influence page, they're pushing back. Why are you a fan of this page then? You're not above the influence. Go get Stepin. That's stuff we can't say that teens can. They're commenting on drug and alcohol use, and we're asking them questions and getting information from them as well. So what we've learned from all of this, and this is the strength of engagement, if you will, the bar on the left shows the strength of anti-drug beliefs among teens that aren't aware of Above the Influence. There's an increase of the strength of those beliefs for teens that are aware, and then the bar on the right is for teens that are aware and interact with the brand. So these are the teens that are on the Facebook page that are discussing Above the Influence, and it just keeps getting stronger. So what we've done is we're expanding the campaign to get more teens engaged, to give off-the-shelf programs and projects, if you will, that local community organizations can use. And these are just a few of the activities: a discussion guide, a video discussion guide, art project, and so on. Kristen will be discussing one of those. The toolkits are available at abovetheinfluencepartnerships.com. And this is what that site looks like. First, there's a video, and I'll play a minute of this, that we took in a few communities that are available to stimulate discussions.
I have so many things that I want to do in life. Nowhere in my family went to college, so that's like something that is not optional, like it's definite.
I'll be the first one out of our family to go to college.
I'll be a fashion designer, because I love clothes, I love to dress.
My goal is to be a veterinarian.
Can you get to an MBA or a PhD?
Hopefully become an architect or a lawyer.
Just to be successful.
Influence to me is something that impacts your life. I think that's a very strong word.
So we provide these a number of these videos with discussion guides that community groups can then discuss with their own teens. How's our community like Milwaukee or Portland or the Bronx or so on? What does this say to you? And teens are encouraged then to go create their own videos like this. Teen Expressions Art Project, all these arrows that you see, basically we've provided templates of the Above the Influence logo for communities to discuss with their teens, and teens are creating their own. And artwork is then collected, and we're putting them on abovetheinfluence.com or on the Facebook page. And these are just a few examples that have come from communities, and there's some beautiful stuff. Another activity is called Tag It. I'll show a brief video of that, and Kristen's going to be talking more about the evaluation of this. Stuff. And again, it's the power of the brand. The teens do recognize that they want to be a part of it, and that's really three quarters of the journey right there. So do I have a minute for questions? Okay, and just the summary then is for media campaigns, we're taking it that step farther, beyond just becoming aware of advertising and assuming that on its own in your brain you're going to have beliefs and then stop your intentions, but more engagement and how engagement matters. Yes, sir. I haven't heard that does follow, because there is still school, there's still, you know, peer-to-peer, the texting communication may not be in person, so I haven't heard that because one's happened, one's gone down. It's just the power and how many people that are in your circle that's absolutely increased.